Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Is this the game? And I thought we weren't going to do this, but here we are. They pull us back in like you're fishing on the Sacramento River, reeling us back in.
Have you done that yet?
No, I need to go. I'm getting my license pretty soon here.
Okay. Yeah, that was like the number one thing you were most excited
That's
for.
Right.
You were like, hey, man, you know, I just got into fishing. So,
but I did like, hey, it. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, we're having the dinner on New Year's and we're going around. What do you want to get into? What are you going to get into?
Yeah, and the resolution.
It comes
such.
To my turn and I say, I just, you know, I think I want to do some fishing. I think I want to get into it.
Okay.
And apparently I hadn't told my little sister, we talk very often,
yeah.
And her face was just so, she's like, what? You want to?
She said, Alan, I've known you for 30 plus years. I've never even heard you say fishing.
She's like, what are you talking about? You trying to get into fishing?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, what's the problem?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I hear it's
so,
a great hobby.
You know, going to reel,
very relaxing.
Reel them in just like the Kings reeled us back in
last
night as they defeat the Orlando Magic in double overtime. And now we got to ask a question.
Do we?
916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. If you want to be a part of the conversation on the text line or the Sack Chat doing great things today, shout out to the Sack Chat. You know, we have had a lot of fun with this game. It's been a great show so far. 2 hours down, two hours to go. We will have crosstalk today.
Ooh.
Haven't had it the last couple days. So that'll be fun to get Kyle and Whitey's thoughts on the game. But, Chris, unfortunately, I just don't feel like I would be authentic if I fall for it. And as good as they played and as excited as I was, Nate said, hey, you're not supposed to say anything in the media section. Oh, I was, let's go. I had a couple, let's go in there. And luckily, I'm just next to Chris, so nobody said anything to me. But I can't let them trick me again.
Yeah.
I got to see more. I do not believe. I guess it's not even that I don't believe it's not going to spark a run.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what could spark the run. I feel like I thought the Memphis game was going to spark
sure.
a run. I thought X game was going to spark a run. And that game, so I can't say that I believe that this is going to spark a run because nothing has sparked the run
sure.
so far.
Can we condense it down to like just like this next easy patch of teams maybe? Like you feel maybe better that the Kings can take care of this stretch?
Let me look at the schedule.
Because the stretch, I'll read it out for everybody here. By the way, I was telling you about how we can, you know, spin some narratives here. Mm-hmm. Kings have won 3 of their last 4.
What is the run, though, exactly?
So like, that's what I'm saying.
What are you looking for?
So Kings have won 3 of their last 4.
Six games?
They play Toronto next on Friday.
That's got to be part of the run.
So they play New Orleans on Sunday.
Now that would have me ready to go.
Then there's 2 more easy games. You have the back-to-back Tuesday and Wednesday on the road, Detroit and Charlotte. Hmm. And then you have Philly, which is now national TV, at Bucks, at Suns. Home pacer. Like that stretch after that is a little bit tougher and a little bit more excusable of some losses. So again, if we can just kind of shrink down what we would consider a nice little run to like these next 4 games and maybe win 5 in a row and maybe win that would be 7 of their last 8. I think that works.
That's
so
great.
you think that this could spark that?
I think so. I mean, and a big part of it is the lack of competition. But yeah, I mean, the Raptors, they're a team that just got put together and, you know, that's a home game for
the
Kings.
They've been playing well, though.
They
the
played
Raptors.
Well, yeah, with Quickley in there, and Quickley's been ridiculous. Shocker. New Orleans, Kings, come on. They're going to go 0-4 to the Pelicans. I hope not, right? Yeah,
this is it.
This better be it. And then you got Detroit and Charlotte. Charlotte, if that's not a 30-point loss, then, or I'm sorry. That's not a 30-point win, then it should count as a loss. And then the Pistons, enough said. Like
the Pistons,
these next four games have to be taken care of. And I guess you can go 3-1 and have it be okay in the long run. But if we're talking about, hey, can this game maybe spark a run? I do feel like there's a chance that the Kings knew that this would be an easier stretch, and the fact that they didn't allow that Charlotte loss, like De'Aaron did talk about when he talked about, you know, leaving this arena and leaving the game back behind him in the arena when he left. Like, you could argue that after that Magic game and the resilience it took to get that result, maybe they are kind of checking into to place and focusing up at least for right here, right now, and at least trying to take advantage of the opportunity that's immediately in front of them.
They should.
They should.
They should.
But yesterday, if I were to ask you that question, you would have said, Chris, they can't even beat the Hornets. Why should I think that they're going to go 4-1 or 4-0 the rest of this trip?
Nate, what's so funny in there? Is that a good Allen impression?
It was a great one. Huh?
It was pretty good. Because that's exactly, I liked it. I think he's getting better every day.
Oh, my God.
It's like
goodness.
The Gus Johnson. It's just, it's happening slowly. But then,
I haven't heard Gus in a while.
Yeah, not in 2024. Yeah, you're not here. Hearing him today, but you really will hear him.
Hopefully he comes out for the
college football.
Yeah,
definitely hear him.
The Michigan game.
Yeah. Wait, that's Monday, so we'll do it Monday.
It is Monday.
We'll do Gus on Monday.
Hopefully I'll be here.
Can't wait.
There you go.
Can't wait. But yeah, I just think that this is a nice little stretch that the Kings should, whether or not, you know, the opponents, or you should say they should take advantage, I think they will take advantage, which I don't know if we would have said 24 hours ago.
So so going back to what we said earlier about this segment, it's not necessarily a corner turn, a hard left hard right. Yeah, yeah. Slight left.
It's not
0.3 miles.
Turn and don't look back.
Yes, in 0.3 miles, make a slight left on Watkins Avenue.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're gonna hit that slight left, and then, you know, in that little Sixers, Bucks, Suns, Pacers stretch, you know, they might look around and see if they drop their wallet or something. Let me take a couple steps back. I know I just turned this corner, but I swear I heard something fall back there.
I'm on my watch. Where's my phone?
I'm just going to make sure. So it wouldn't surprise me if something like that happens. But I definitely feel like, again, this is a good opportunity for the Kings to take advantage. I really think that the win yesterday, I mean, again, I'll say it's a little cliche. I'll say it's a little theatric, if you will, but I do think the resilience of winning a game like yesterday has to have some sort of staying power with your team.
Well, De'Aaron said he flushes it. So
You can't have it both ways. You can't flush good or bad losses, but also live with good wins. You have to flush them all. I guess.
Or maybe you don't. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? You're on Styles and Watkins. You know what it is. What you got for us?
Man, I definitely know what it is, man. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Not much, man. Not much. So I'm not going to let this team win me over like this, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get caught in the hoopla of the ups and downs, right? That was an incredible game last night as far as entertainment. We should have had that game wrapped up, though.
A lot sooner.
We should have had that game wrapped up by the end of the game. That 16-point, you know, I love all these talks about how, you know, Kings came back from a 16-point deficit and a 23-point deficit. My question is, how did we get to that deficit in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's great. That's great and all that we won and we came back from it. But how did we get to that deficit in the first place? I feel like that should be addressed more so than, oh, yeah, great comeback. And also, this run right now kind of reminds me of, like, the Giants 3 out of 5 World Series, okay? That whole amazing 6-year run right there, right? There was a term that was floating around, man, and it made it on the posters and everything. Giants torture. Giants torture. Now, the Giants never had – I'll try to make this as long story short as possible because, you know, I'll talk your guys' ear off. But – they never had, if you looked at their roster, they never had a championship roster.
Mm-hmm.
Never. You looked at it, you can look at it even now, and you're like, dude, how in the heck did they pull that off? Well, because you got hot at the right time. There's so many different variables. But the one thing that they did is they tortured teams. Also, they tortured the fans because of the ups and downs. You know, it was just torture all the way around. And I really kind of agree with that sentiment as far as this year, because it's been up, it's been down, but like with the growth of, you know, from last year to this year, we had such high expectations, and I still feel like we're kind of still stuck in that expectation rut in a way to where they're not necessarily meeting our expectations as fans. But I mean, are we kind of putting too much pressure on these guys? I just don't know. you know, that's for them to decide. But I really want to just relate, you know, this season to kind of those Giants years, man. It really is torturous, man, to kind of watch to kind of get the feelings of all the highs. You know, it was a great win. You know, we had Keegan at 47 points, shot, knocked down 12 threes. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, you're going to have to ask yourself, like, all right, you know, what about tomorrow? What about those Houston games? What about Charlotte? You know, those games were rough, you know, but then we have big games like last night. So Giants torture, man. I feel like it's kind of Kings torture nowadays, you know. Put us on the stretcher, you know what I'm saying, like in Braveheart, you know what I'm saying? Start splitting our limbs apart, man. I'm ready for it. So let's hopefully we can outlast this torture this season, man, and hopefully end up in a good spot, man.
No,
appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, anytime, no,
thanks,
Steven, you know,
for the call, Steven. Yeah, look, if it ends in a championship,
I'll take it.
I will take that all day and all night. Yeah, the thing about the Giants games where they did win a lot, but it was –
2-3 on first, every game, too.
Right, it was man on first and second, bases loaded, no outs, here comes Brian Wilson, can you get out of this jam over and over and over again? So that is similar to what the Kings are dealing with right now. And
it's better than getting your limbs pulled off, like Steven said, though. I'd rather have that than having my legs be slowly pulled from my body.
Okay, yes, agreed. Yeah, and... To Steven's note about why are they in these situations, I think Charlotte completely understand why you would feel that way. But I would say that last night, and I don't normally do this, if they had lost, I'm glad they didn't, but if they had lost, we would have just felt like, all right, it is what it is, because of the otherworldly shooting that the Magic have done that is still... bizarre, right? Still bizarre. So good on the Kings for powering through. I wouldn't put that in a bucket with the Charlotte game. No. But if Steven is just kind of encapsulating everything, sure. And by the way, I have a response.
No way.
From Kevin O'Connor. I will read
That was quick.
I will read it when we get
sit
back.
On a throne of
Styles
lies.
And Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. And we have a response, a pretty funny response from Kevin O'Connor. Oh,
if you I was hoping he would... like, really just be like, what are you, who are you? I don't even...
No, not at all. And I'm trying to figure out...
I want animosity.
So let's take some help here from the Sack Chat and to the text line and the callers if you want to be a part of the conversation. So I think most people know the background, but if you don't, we will let you know right now. Basically, Kevin O'Connor is in the media for The Ringer, and he also does stuff on FanDuel as well. He is part of the basketball media, almost 400,000 followers on Twitter, and he is almost famously always in a beef with Kings fans because he thinks that the Kings essentially need an upgrade from Sabonis, even though if you look at the numbers, there's nowhere really to go. So there's been a long-standing back and forth between Kevin O'Connor and Sacramento Kings fans. So earlier in the show, I referenced Kevin O'Connor when we were talking about Sabonis' big night last night. And I took that clip, I clipped it, and posted it on my ex Twitter, and I tagged Kevin O'Connor. And Kevin O'Connor has responded. And Kevin O'Connor with two laughing emojis. And what I said was, Domantas Sabonis did something last night that hasn't been done since Wilt Chamberlain. Then I said his stat line. I said, it's all love, Kevin O'Connor. And I tagged him, we just want to talk. He responded and says, laughing emoji, the one night I take off from live tweeting, shaking my head. I was editing my very long article while watching the games, to be honest, LOL. And I'm sure you're seeing it now. You're not happy. It's a fun exchange.
No, it
Chris.
Is. I actually really like the exchange. I actually really do like Kevin O'Connor as well. Like he's a good writer who knows a lot about the NBA and especially like all the ins and outs of, you know, the salary cap stuff.
Right.
He's also really big into the draft. So if, you know, around draft time he makes the Ringer's draft articles and their draft profiles, big board, all that stuff. I just really wanted smoke. I just really wanted you two to.
No,
meet,
I want to have him on the show.
I do too, but I think it would have been a lot more entertaining as a. Well, I guess I'm not a casual observer. I'm involved in the show, but I just would have liked to see you guys beef, honestly.
No beef.
And Kevin's
here.
Not, you know, yeah, Kevin's not like a bad dude at all. Like Kevin O'Connor seems, by all intents and purposes, seems like a really, really nice guy, someone who's not confrontational at all. And I think he would be very willing to have, like, it's not like he's just. I mean, I hate to throw a fellow Ringer guy under the bus. It's not like Steven Ruiz who's just throwing out Brock Purdy sucks because I don't like how he plays.
Yeah.
Kevin at least will like have a conversation with you and have some pretty good points about why he feels the way he does about Sabonis.
So I need your help. I need your help, Chris. I need your help, Nate. I need your help to the listeners on the text line, 916-339-1140. Also in the Sack chat as well. So I told you what he said. He said the one night I take off from live tweeting, shaking
my head.
Which,
what does that mean?
I don't know. I was editing my long article while watching the games, to be honest. LOL. What do I respond with? What do I respond with?
I don't know.
I'm trying to get him on the show.
Yeah, we need someone with some Riz, man. We need a Rizzler.
Do I just come back and say, ha ha, all good. So when can I have... When do you want to come on tomorrow?
About that conversation. Let's see here.
Should I say, ha ha, does tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern work? Just give him a time.
That's not
bad.
And
if he doesn't respond, he doesn't respond.
Yeah, right.
And we're right back where we started.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so. I think that's a good move. Yeah. So, yeah. How about just say, like.
Well, let's not rush.
Yeah. We'll make sure we get the right thing. I like what you said, though. I like the, give him a time, tell him, all right.
And it's be out, everybody's going to see.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Put the ball in his court.
How about a 10-minute convo tomorrow, 2 p.m.?
I like it.
Not 2, because we're done at 2.
Right. Well, yeah.
I don't know where he is.
I think he is on the Western time zone. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure we should be able to work with him.
I'll send it.
On a Friday.
All right. If anyone has any better ideas... How I should respond to Kevin O'Connor so he can get back
you know
into
what?
The good graces.
We're gonna be live on YouTube during this next break here. Maybe we'll draft it up during the break. So if you want to be involved in the Kevin O'Connor tweet, join us on the Sacktown Sports YouTube page.
There you go. Shout out Kevin. All right, let's get into it. And this kind of leads into what Steven was saying in the last segment. One of our top callers here.
I think the top caller.
We got to rank the callers.
In terms of quantity, for sure.
For sure. So we got to rank the callers at some point in time. That'll be a summer.
I don't think we should.
That'll be a summer event.
Maybe if we do
event.
It like Dion, you know, and it's more of like a out of love, you know, as out long of as love. Everyone understands.
Yes.
Like, I love all of my
children.
We'll
just give them different titles.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Okay? Not ranking them per se. But yeah, the Kings did blow a 16-point lead in the third quarter last night. And I know... When you're on the road, you say, hey, let's get it to 15, let's get it under 10 in the fourth, or just get it to 10 in the fourth, and we're ready to go. 15 is normally that limit to where it's right on that fringe of, hey, did they blow it or not?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like the Kings blew it? Because it was 16.
Yeah.
It wasn't 20. Mm-hmm. It was 16, which is one more than 15. Honestly, I felt like it should have been talked about a little bit more.
Sure.
But I guess you can just put it into the category of, yeah, well, no lead is going to hang on if a team is shooting 56% from three and they make 25 threes.
That's where I fall. Yeah. I fall on that second part for sure, where it's just like, you know, maybe, yeah, you can argue if you want that the Kings, okay, once the Magic have shown that they are shooting well that night, maybe you kind of abandon the game plan. But I think it's a solid game plan. And I think, again, I just think it's crazy unfortunate that the Kings got the Magic's best punch. I think, you know, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, I didn't see anything in that third quarter. And again, I haven't watched it back, and we watch it live, so we don't always have the best vantage point of it. But I didn't really see any sort of collapse. It didn't feel like, you know, and I can look at the numbers again. I don't remember there being a crazy amount of turnovers or anything in the third quarter. I'm sure there was some, but I don't remember anything out of ordinary or anything like that, though I am looking at it now. And the Kings did have 6 turnovers in that third quarter. So that probably speaks to it right there. So if you add turnovers on top of missing shots, for sure.
On top of?
Or on top of them making shots.
Well, you said in the third, didn't they? Was it 7 for
7 12? 7 of 12, yeah. From 3, which is absurd. And
right.
Like, you know, again, you throw all those factors together. And, yeah, but to like, yeah, the Magic probably should have won. And, yeah, you could say the Kings blew it. But to me, I think it's... Again, I just think it's more impressive that the Kings were able to wade those waters. Like,
yeah.
I really, you can definitely say for sure, like, you shouldn't have had to do that. But I think that they're a better team in a weird, twisted way. They're a better team for being able to deal with the Magic's best punch and be able to deliver their own punch and still get the result. Again, like, I think, like you said, last night was maybe an excusable loss where, again, today, if the Kings would have lost that game, we probably would have just said, right. Look.
You would have just been more mad at Charlotte.
Would have had nothing to do with the game last night. I think the fact that, the Kings were able to win a game like that, I'm taking that. That's my takeaway. I don't even really think about the 16-point lead because, like you said, too, to start this thing, those things happen all the time. If we're talking 20 is a little bit different.
20, 25.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
It's how it works out. In the NBA, like you said, 15-point leads, that's pretty, I don't want to say normal, but you'll probably see that just about every night in the NBA between one of the 8 games that goes on. A team will blow a 12 to 15-point
right.
lead.
Every day, every game.
Every single game. So it's not out of the ordinary. If it were 20, then, yeah, maybe we could say the Kings really had this, and then Franz goes down. They didn't have Markelle Fultz and, you know, all these things, and they still lose. But I'm okay with it. I'm not really going to think about it much.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, we bring back up De'Aaron Fox saying he doesn't think about a loss very long. Well, Giannis, who lost to Tyrese Halliburton again. What is this, the 4th time this season? They're 0-4. Giannis is being his funny self, and he's everywhere. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
That was different being on because I think something happens in here technically, Nate, Styles and Watkins, because my mic was on.
Yes.
But then when we went.
I turned it off.
When?
Right when we came back because I didn't want you to say something over the air on accident.
Ah.
So I killed your mic. Okay.
Well, that was the first time if you were with us on the Sack Chat, that was the first time we stayed live during a break. So shout out to the Sack Chat. That was different.
We're trying to figure out how tall Kevin O'Connor is.
Yeah, no, we got a couple more this hour.
No,
yes, we are. We're going to find that out.
There's no heightism here, all right? We're not doing
that. No, it's not about curiosity.
Mostly because I'm pretty sure he's going to be tall.
I'm pretty sure
he's going to be
tall.
I kind of hope he's like 5'6".
See, I
don't think he's that short.
And I don't like you saying that.
I just hope he is. I don't know.
Why?
So I could carry him around.
Why?
Okay. Okay.
All right, come on now. We've made a lot of progress here.
Okay.
No, I'm
Nate's
super
not
stoked.
Producing the show that Kevin O'Connor is on. I've already made that decision.
Decided. It's been decided.
As we get back, if you're listening in the car or on the Sacktown Sports app, thank you for listening. De'Aaron Fox was asked a question after the Hornets game as far as how long do you sit
right.
with a loss. So we played that sound yesterday. Essentially, De'Aaron Fox said that I don't really sit with it for very long at all, right? By the time I leave the building, I'm not thinking about it. Now, I don't know if that's how he treats every game. I don't know if that's how he treats stinkers.
Right.
I'm not sure. Now, here is Giannis, who they have lost to the Pacers 4 times.
Ooh.
And I will say this. I'm going to go back to the underdog story of Halliburton and the showmanship. Halliburton does a no-look pass yesterday out right, to Miles Turner. He hits a three. Halliburton is telling, last time he did the Damian Lillard, right? This time he's telling Damian Lillard, Giannis, he's telling to the crowd, get him out of here. Get him out of here. So to those, going back to the All-Star voting, and it's all on our TVs
We're literally about to watch it right now.
To those questions about the All-Star voting, the showmanship that Halliburton plays with, it's kind of unmatched right now. Yeah. It's a little bit unmatched right now. But here is Giannis, who got asked about losing to the Pacers four times now in the span of one season. We're not even done with the season yet. Here's Giannis talking about how much, I guess, he thinks about
it. They look upset.
You have that, and you think about it. Now, when you go back home and you sleep and you wake up, you think about it. Now, when you go back and work out, you think about it. You know, when you're about to get freaky at night, you think about it. You know, but at the end of the day, it's good because now it gives us time to fix things.
What?
Did not need to throw that in, brother.
Is he eating peanut butter during that?
He's always he's always on some. He loves to joke about activities.
Yeah.
He loves to joke about activities.
It's really a Greek thing. You guys wouldn't get it.
Are you Greek?
No.
No. I've seen my big fat Greek wedding.
All right. So besides the joke at the end.
Yeah.
Right. Besides the joke at the end.
You think about it.
You think he's serious? I think he's serious. I think he's bugging them.
Yeah. And I mean,
he's clowning them.
Here's the thing, too. I don't know which one I would prefer my superstar best player to have, because I do think, like, what do they always say about Michael Jordan and Kobe and LeBron and all of the greatest to ever do it? Is that they make up things to drive them, to motivate them. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a bit of something healthy there in trying to use that as motivation. Like, if the rest of the season, Giannis is just going to think about how the freaking Indiana Pacers tried to sun them when Giannis has a ring and he's got Damian Lillard on his squad and they're playing some of the best cashed offense out in the NBA. He's cashed out now, going to be a Milwaukee Buck for life. Like, I think it's healthy for Giannis to use that as a driving, as a little carrot dangling in front of him. And, you know, I also do think definitely for your mental health, I think it's okay to be where De'Aaron's at, where he flushes that thing the second he leaves the building. But I kind of would like to hear my star, or really any of the players on my favorite teams, to say, yeah, like, I'm not just going to forget about this. Like, I'm going to use this. I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to be better from it. Like, I do think that there's a weird juxtaposition there between these two guys, but I at the same time, I think both of them are right for how they approach it.
Well, it's different, right? We're talking about, they are two different situations. I think that, honestly, I'm not hoping that this happens, but I think that the actual comparison would be if the Kings, and you said they're coming up again, you know where I'm going with this, if the Kings lost to the Pelicans again.
Oh my god,
that's what it would be, because this is a one-off stinker. Yeah. What kind of one-off, because you had the Blazers situation, but it's not the Hornets over and over and over again.
It's not literally the same nightmare over and
exactly.
over.
It's not Halliburton trolling you, roasting you over and over again. It's a random game where you played poorly and you've kind of had a random stretch. So you're asking him about that game, De'Aaron, but honestly, you're asking him about your play the last couple games because of the Blazers game and because... Right, because throughout that four, you had the Blazers, trash, and then after that, you had the Hawks, trash, and then untrashed, and because you won, and then you had blowout against the Grizzlies, and then you had the loss to the Hornets. So really, De'Aaron is, I don't want to say hiding, but he's answering a question about a one-off game, when really the answer you want is about...
Yeah.
How you've been playing lately. So it is apples and oranges.
Sure, a little bit there, yeah.
And you have Giannis basically just saying, yeah, this is the same team. So it would be the equivalent of if, and I don't think it's going to happen. You don't think, so I'm not to say it now because they don't play soon, but you're giving me the vibes. You think they will finally vanquish the Pelican.
I'm not promising anything. I will not make any, I definitely will not say I will say I hope they do. I would say it's really tough to beat a team four times in a year without dropping one game. But you know, it would be another thing to add to the list of what makes this season just the weirdest season ever. So
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me, but yeah, I mean, I would like to think, I would like to think that the Kings also, you know, I'm not saying they need to be thinking about that today, but you know, as that New Orleans game is maybe the next night, like I would like them to start to think about, these dudes three times have had our number already this year. What can we do? Let's really, like, let me kind of PTSD myself and actually go back and try and internalize the moments where I felt like that game went wrong and where I feel like, you know, we can learn from it, because, you know, obviously there's, when you lose, there's your learning lessons. I mean, that's where you learn the majority of your lessons are in losses. And so, yeah, I mean, I would hope that they don't just completely flush it.
Yeah.
And of course, like, I mean, they're going to watch film and stuff, so it's going to be brought back up to them, but mm-hmm. I think that there is something, especially for these hyper-competitive guys, like, I think there is something good about them not forgetting those things.
You know, I asked you something yesterday, and I really wanted to ask it during the roundtable, and we can definitely talk to Frankie and Brendan about this next week, because you didn't really agree, but I thought it was at least a talking point. Are the Kings... Out of the contenders, out of the true contenders, mm-hmm. are the Kings the least, do they have the least athletic rotation out of the, I guess, Western Conference and Eastern Conference contenders? And maybe this is an easier conversation to just keep it to the West. How about we do that? It's probably easier to just keep it to the West. Because we talk about how they lack athleticism, right? And I don't know how much more athletic the Kings are with Duarte in the lineup than Kevin Huerter.
Sure.
Then every time we do a pregame press conference, and Coach Mike Brown actually said it last night, mm-hmm. he said, you know, they're another big team and this is becoming a theme,
yeah.
right? It's just they're lacking. It's not that it's crazy. It's that they're still lacking that one piece when you compare Harrison Barnes to the other wings that people have in that position.
Sure.
If they were always talking about, even going back to the fact that they run the Princeton flow offense, and literally the first lines when we read how that offense is supposed to run was for the teams that weren't as athletic, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons. So I was just thinking about that last night. You have De'Aaron, who's athletic, right?
Sure.
I think once you get Keegan is a confusing athlete, to be completely honest with you.
I just don't really think about athleticism. It might sound weird, but like for basketball, I just don't really think. Like, I think of having an athletic trait, but like mm-hmm. teams in total, like I don't know what a team being an athletic team would necessarily help you to do. Like mm-hmm. I think, obviously, if you have good athletes, you're probably a good defensive team, and you know, I would hope you attack the rim well, but I don't know what seeking out athleticism specifically would do for like your roster.
But okay, so maybe an easier way to put this is I don't know. It's just when we see them play the Timberwolves,
and like athleticism too is like a wide, like, is it leaping? Is it speed?
Maybe it's just a confusing way of again saying, I think they're missing two more athletic guys that most of the league has, whatever that means.
Yeah, I would translate that for my brain would translate that as like you want guys who are more threes than fours. The Kings need forwards. They need those long, versatile guys, but they need to skew a little bit more towards the mobility mm-hmm. than the Trey Lyles, Sasha, a little more clunky physical. Which I think I definitely agree. Like I've been clamoring for the Royce O'Neals, the Jared Vanderbilts of the world. Like those guys, I think the Kings definitely are deprived of them. But to me, I would look for length and like wingspan over just sheer, like when I hear athleticism, I think you need a team of Derrick Jones Juniors.
Right.
And that's just not really
or Kamingas.
Or Kamingas, totally. Kamingas. And that's just not really what I'm looking for. I'm looking more for...
No, I guess they're just missing a couple guys. They're missing a couple guys, and hopefully it doesn't come back to bite them, which makes them making jump shots so important.
Right.
From the 916, Clippers are too big. too long. Denver's more athletic. Lakers, no one can guard LeBron. Phoenix, no one can guard KD from the 916. I mean, the Lakers, they got their – we'll talk about the Lakers. They got their own issues.
Yeah.
And like, you have – we actually talked about Denver.
Yeah.
Because we talked about – I know we got to get to a break. What, right. We'll do it after
when
the
When it comes
break.
To athleticism, though, I think that was my answer to, like, who in the West – I would say, like, Denver's not, like, crazy. Like, Aaron Gordon's obviously, look at his dunk contest, sick athlete.
Exactly.
Michael Porter's no slouch, but, like – Jokic got those credit card hops, KCP's whatever, and Jamal Murray is no leaper.
Right, so it's really, I would say the Clippers, right? I would say the Clippers.
Yeah,
I would
Clippers.
Say the T-Wolves.
Yeah,
and I would say the Thunder.
Yeah.
Those three, for sure. We'll go over the others. 916 also brings up Phoenix, but again, that's another team that...
Old team.
And I believe the Kings are undefeated against the Suns.
Yep.
They didn't have KD the first time, they did have KD the second time. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continue the conversation. More of your texts, more of your calls, more of your SAC chat. And we are switching. We're switching it up a little bit real quick because we know there's some Raiders fans out here. And Davante Adams has some thoughts on who should be the next head coach. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. A lot of Kings talk, and they deserve it. Okay? We roasted them yesterday, and they deserve that. But when you ball out like you did, even if it's not pretty, when you give people what they want, Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. Family is in town.
Come on.
Right? Brother, here from the Air Force, thank you for your service.
Yes.
All he wanted to see was a bean.
That's it.
And when you do something like that, we got to give you your flowers. Malik Monk deserves his flowers for everything he did. Sabonis deserves his flowers for everything he did. And you know what? Obviously, Keegan Murray as well, but I'm also going to say De'Aaron Fox. I don't know what was said in those huddles, but De'Aaron Fox, all these games where he's carried the team, right, to be able to understand. He took a couple shots later in the game, but they were wide open. He still has to keep that defense honest, but it probably was a different situation. Okay, this is going to run through Malik. And there are some guys, I won't name names, but some guys in the league that might not have liked that very much. And I don't think De'Aaron Fox cared one bit. That's his brother. You said it, not me. That's his brother from Kentucky. And I guarantee you he was really happy for him. So kudos to everybody involved with that W. And look, you got Chris believing that you can roll this into something. I'm not there. Because I got burned last time because mine was the I've had a couple. So I'm sitting this one out. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought that's the fine. Memphis one maybe. Yeah. I've had a couple. I'm not falling for it yet. Okay, but let's see what you do tomorrow against a Raptors team who is trying to do the whole hey, and I actually don't think they lost the trade, but they're trying to prove we can be better. They're 14-20. Mm-hmm. They beat the Grizzlies last night, 116-111. So, and RJ Barrett, now he's back in his hometown, Canadian kid. So they're feeling it right now. After they lost to the Pistons, they beat the Cavs, and they have beat the Grizzlies. Now they got to come and do the West Coast run. They take on the Kings tomorrow. Then they take on the Warriors. Then they take on the Lakers and the Clippers. They're doing their West Coast run.
Yep.
There's the only time they do it throughout the season, so hopefully the Kings are able to take advantage.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, Toronto's not that great of a team, and I think even with the Quickly trade and or I should say the OG trade that brought them Quickly and RJ, I don't think that they're really trying to win basketball games this season. They're going to be a scrappy team, but there really shouldn't be much concern there from the Kings side. I feel like they should be able to take advantage.
See, man, no, hold on now.
What's up?
I don't like that.
Why not?
Because I actually really had deja vu earlier on in this show, seriously.
Really?
But now I'm getting fake deja vu because this is the same thing you said about the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, that it still doesn't mean that it wasn't true against the Charlotte Hornets.
Don't say it.
I mean, what am I supposed to say? Like,
say it's
going to
be a gritty game.
Okay, but this is a 20-13 team going against a 14-20 team.
It's
like, how am I supposed to say that these two teams are even? And you know, realistically, oh yeah, the Toronto Raptors have as much talent. Like they don't have as much talent as the Kings. They're a new team that's being put together that doesn't understand their identity. Emmanuel Quickley scored 26 points the other night. That tells me that he's just kind of taking the reins, and they don't really have people who were already there that they feel like should be their primary scoring option. I mean, obviously Pascal Siakam's still there, but I just think that that's
Scotty
a team
Barnes.
That doesn't make a lot of sense right now. I think that they're still in the process of kind of forming whatever the post-trade.
Schroeder, who he play for? Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Yep. On the Toronto Raptors.
Dennis Schroeder's over in the six. Like, they have some talent for sure. I mean, they've got Jakob Poeltl. He's going to be a physical matchup for Sabonis. But, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is the best player on the floor that night. And Malik Monk is probably the second. Like, I think that there shouldn't be. I mean, well, okay, I'm forgetting Pascal Siakam's out there. But, like, I think the Kings should have more than enough talent to deal with the Raptors.
Honestly,
where I'm at.
No, I hear you. So last night, RJ, 14 points, Pascal, 24, Jakob Poeltl, 33 minutes, rebounds, 2 assists, 7 points.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes, 20 points. Emmanuel Quickley, as you noted, 26 points. Dennis Schroeder, 16 points. And then you have Gary Trent Jr., 21 minutes, 5 points, 1 rebound. Yeah, you know, for me, I'm just really excited because I'm not judging anyone. But I do think a lot of people see names, and they've seen these names for so long, they just assume they are going to be upgrades. I'm not going to name names, but I would just say I'm glad that people that have probably been clamoring for Pascal Siakam for 2 years are actually going to get to watch him.
Yeah.
Because don't believe these people. I don't believe everybody is firing up League Pass and watching. It's just, Woj said that this guy's available, and everybody is saying that this guy's good, so he must be good. I am very excited for a guy that's been connected with the Kings a lot. Mm-hmm. We will get to actually watch him live and in action. Now watch him get traded before the game.
I'll take it. I'll gladly take it. But who knows? I mean, we didn't see the first Toronto trade.
What if he gets traded
happening?
To the Kings before the game?
That would be a mess. I mean, I would love it. I wonder if we could somehow make that, like, so that he could play that night because it's like everyone's there. That would be great, but you never know. You just never know. I mean, again, we did not see the OG Anunoby trade coming from anywhere. It would not surprise me if the Pascal Siakam trade just kind of springs up one morning out of nowhere. And, you know, you put it to my attention. I keep forgetting. We are, like, pushing on less than 30 days until the trade deadline. You said it's February 8th. January 4th now. So by next week, we're going to be less than a month away from the trade deadline. And, I mean, you know, anything can happen. And I definitely think, you know, at this point, that it doesn't make sense for Toronto to hold on to Pascal beyond this year. So they're probably going to move him soon.
Yeah. All right. Quick note before we get to the break. Davante Adams, who I think a lot of people forgot, is one of, if not the best receiver. I know Justin Jefferson would have something to say about it.
He sure does.
But, you know, Davante Adams just didn't get talked about and really no reason to. He's dealing with Aiden O'Connell. Yeah. And
it sounded like you were going to say he's dealing with an injury.
No, his injury is the organization that he chose to go to. He's dealing with mediocre quarterback play and mediocre ownership. Here is Davante Adams and who he thinks should be the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously who I wanted. That's my vote, and I've been vocal about that. And that's, that's basically how the whole locker room feels, and, you know, with good reason. I mean, he's come in and done a great job, and, you know, he's continued to win us over. It's not just the comfortable thing. I think having AP here will be, it'll be good for this organization. He kind of embodies what it means to be a Raider, and that mentality, that swag, and, you know, all the things that he endorses is the things that I believe in. So it's easy for a guy like me, especially having dealt with him a little bit this year now and gotten to know him and see his evolution, you know, in front of the team and, you know, all those things, all the different fields of being a head coach. So definitely rooting for him.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And this probably isn't fair. Hey, another Bay boy in Davante Adams. Actually, for those who didn't know, Davante Adams, this is actually a crazy story. Davante Adams and Joc Pederson both went to Palo Alto High and both played football. And Davante Adams was wide receiver number two to Joc Pederson, wide receiver number one.
Joc gives a lot more tight end energy.
Now he does. He's a big boy. No, Joc. Yeah. I told you I hit with Joc. I told you this story back in the day. Yeah. No, Joc was a real deal athlete.
Yeah.
He just, you know, went from center field
to enjoy life.
Left field. Yeah. The fruits of his labor.
Yeah.
Right? So
I don't know how much fruit was involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on now. That was a good one. But come on now. And we still, is Joc gone?
I think so. Because I think it was just a 1-year deal.
We'll check that out. But my question is this, and this is no disrespect because I really do like Davante Adams. I love his Taco Bell commercials as well.
Great.
Shout out Nacho Fries.
Yes.
My question is this. If he doesn't kick and scream to get moved, is he the Bradley Beal of the NBA?
Yes. That's
get
great.
A bag.
That's so good.
Just enjoy my time. Yep. I like Vegas. Yeah. It's close enough to the Bay Area. I can go back home. I'm not really tripping.
The only difference is he can't put up 30 a night. But besides that, I mean, that would be the only difference is if he could still somehow manage to get stats. But pretty much,
Because if you're Davante, you cannot really think that it's a good look or a good idea to sit through another rookie quarterback.
Right.
That I don't care who you get.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels. You can get anybody you want.
Yeah.
It's too big of a risk. Because
if that doesn't go well, what now?
You're done.
Yeah.
You're done. So I don't know.
You end up being like DeAndre Hopkins where it doesn't 31. Matter if you're playing well. You just kind of hop from place to place.
He's 31. You have, if you're not kicking and screaming, I think, hey, I respect you. I'm happy for you. But you're just not tripping off of playing in the playoffs. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not so much in football. Like, there's not so much the conversation for like, always trying to get onto the best team possible. There is some merit in like staying in your situation.
Julio Jones still
trying to make the best of it. But first off, if I'm the Raiders and I hear Davante Adams say that and our plan isn't to move on to Davante Adams, I'm immediately leaving that press conference and dropping off a contract at Antonio Pierce's office, because whatever Davante Adams wants, and if he is that adamant about saying he wants AP back, AP's coming back because I want Davante Adams happy if I am going to go out there and get a rookie quarterback and maybe put, you know, Devontae's faith in us again in a little bit of jeopardy. I'm going to try and want to make as many things right for Davante as possible because, I mean, I was at that Vikings game where they didn't score any points.
Oh, man.
He was not happy at all, rightfully so. Like, there is a lot of frustration that's brewed over, I think, from the, hey, you guys traded literally the entire reason why I wanted to come here was to play with one of my best friends, and he's no longer here anymore. And then you put me through that terrible season where we fire a coach and then bring this guy in and you give
this
me terrible
number
quarterback.
Three? Was Davante there with Gruden? I can't even remember.
I don't
remember.
Think so. No.
No,
he
no.
just got there last year. So, I mean, or was it last year? Yeah. I would just do whatever Davante wants to do. But, again, if I still kind of think from the Raiders, from an organizational standpoint, if you can get a first-round pick for Davante Adams – again, you're going to draft a rookie quarterback. I don't know how much help Davante. I mean, he'll definitely help your quarterback, but if you don't really have any intention of winning football games next year, I would try and ship him off and just get what you could and make him happy and, you know, figure yourself out. You know?
Yeah, and no disrespect to Davante Adams because he's one of the best in the game. I do think that there's just a lot of talent coming out each season, and if you can – each college season and every year. And if you can move Davante and just say, hey, I'm sorry it didn't work out, we'll get you to a contender in the NFC, right? And hopefully you can flourish there because the timelines just don't work out. Now, the problem is, as we get to a break, the problem is you have that situation and then you have another – they're literally stuck in Tweenerville, which is where I feel like the Raiders are always stuck – because Max Crosby's 26.
Right.
And this is the best your defense has looked.
Yeah.
So that's why everybody is saying, we see Dwayne Baker on the text line or on the sack chat, let's, you know, get Browning and draft Penix. But I think you got to get a real deal quarterback now because you might be quarterback-ish away. I think that's the other side of this.
Right.
So you either blow it up
right,
or you just try to get over the hump. But I don't think you're going to do that with a – although he's a rookie, Penix would have been around a long time. Right. So, yeah, a lot of decisions to make there. All right, back to basketball when we get back. The Lakers are in shambles, and you love to see it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.